I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The Fire Hall Arts Centre here in town will be staging the acclaimed play Social Studies shortly. Trish Cooper, the playwright, joins me now. We'll preview this timely show. It's a comedy about a Winnipeg family that adopts a South Sudanese lost boy. I'll ask her about the characters in the show and the values and contradictions that the play highlights. The show stars Lily Beaudoin, Richie Digg, Susan McFarlane, and Aaron Moon. The production's director is Donna Spencer. The website for tickets and information is at firehallartcenter.ca. Social Studies is Trish Cooper's first full-length play. It was developed and produced at Prairie Theatre Exchange in Winnipeg and was also staged in Montreal. Since joining Prairie Theatre Exchange in 2006, she has written a number of short plays for the company. She is a graduate of the University of Winnipeg and began writing sketch comedy with the Royal Liechtenstein Theatre Company. She toured the Fringe Circuit with the shows she's performed in. She's a frequent contributor to CBC's Definitely Not the Opera, and recently wrote and performed on the web series Wind City. She lives in Winnipeg, where she joins me from today. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Trish Cooper. Ms. Cooper, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So this is a timely show because in this country we're thinking about the issue of refugees. Your own interest in what's going on in Sudan, did that come before you wrote the show, or did that come as you were writing it?
I've sort of explained this before, that the story was inspired by true events, but it's inspired by, and then it kind of gave me the springboard to come up with the idea for the show. But my mom did invite this Sudanese lost boy to come and live with us. We'll live with her. Mm-hmm. Several years ago, 2006. So I was moving home from Toronto, originally from Winnipeg, but I'd lived in Toronto for 3 or 4 years and was moving back, and you know, had not in a great time in my life. I was, my agent had fired me. I was trying to be an actor and, you know, mostly serving, and came back to Winnipeg with my tail between my legs and kind of, you know, wanted to bounce back into my mom's basement for a few months before I got my place, and she had invited this guy. So it was just this immediate, like, recognition of, you know, you can feel sorry for yourself only so much when you're living with someone who's come from, you know, this horrible experience and who's new to Canada and is just, who's so excited about everything, you know, whereas I was moody and, you know, not towards them, but just,
right.
It was immediately a wake-up call to just how lucky I am and how privileged I am.
And so that idea, I guess, resonates throughout the play, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, along with that idea is the, you know, we also can't constantly live our whole lives, you know, aware that we're so lucky and we're so lucky we're not refugees, that we're not in the middle of a war, or we're not, you know, like there is a relativism to it, right? Like we can't... I try really hard to be aware of all the things in my life that I'm so grateful for. But yeah, you feel, your feelings are legit, right? We, mm-hmm. you know, you go through times in your life that are hard or are painful, and it's, you know, you can't be like, well, at least you're lucky you can see and you can, you know, you have health care, and you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. we just can't, it's impossible to live that way. So I think the struggle, that struggle is part of the comedy of the play, is just like, you know, trying to, it is hard to feel sorry for yourself when you have this kid living in your house, right? So that's mm-hmm. kind of where a lot of the comedy comes from, and most of the comedy also comes from, and I hope makes fun of kind of us, of the sort of middle class Canadian, you know, and our perceptions. It's not making fun of like Sudanese refugees in mm-hmm. Sudanese mud.
Yeah, so I guess there are four characters in the show. There's the mother, the two daughters, and the refugee. His name's Ding, is that right?
Ding, yeah, D-E-N-D.
Yeah, so in terms of just how they are as a family, the Wilson family, and then this young man that comes to live with them, do you have an idea as to why the mother brings this boy to live with him? I mean, what's going on in her life that she's inspired to do that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, very loosely based on my own mom. My mom really is a person that walks the walk. She's a, you know, she's a peace activist. She's one of those people who, you know, she has welcomed, you know, opened up her home to people. She's, you know, she volunteers like crazy. If she sees a problem, she tries to do something to fix it. So, you know, that's very admirable. There's a lot about that that is really admirable. But it's, but in, you know, in, and then in the reality of the play, it's also, it can be naive, right? To think like, oh, I'll just, you know, I'll make it all better by bringing this guy into my house, and I'm gonna fix him, and I'm gonna fix the world's problems by doing this, you know. So I think, and then, you know, the every play needs conflict. So the conflict is, you know, the older sister Jackie has just left her marriage and assumed that she could come home, you know, had a bad breakup and come home and thought, you know, she can, like, I coming home from Toronto, thought she could come home and be comforted by her family and chill out in her mom's basement. And she's, you know, really, again, not given much sympathy considering what this guy's been through.
When you look at what's happening in the country in terms of just the story of us in Canada discussing whether we should take refugees in or not, do you find that we're understanding just what all that means?
Well, I mean, I wasn't before I met him. I mean, I think I always believed that, of course, we should do whatever we can. And, you know, my philosophy was like, absolutely, bring them here, whoever needs a place. But it doesn't, you know, the reality of it isn't until you actually see what's going on. Like, even, you know, in 2006, things were actually a lot better for refugees in Canada than they are now. You know, there's been major cuts, and I'm hopeful that that will change now with the change in government. But there has been, you know, there things were actually better, and now they're worse. And I think I didn't know, for instance, that, you know, in this case, these guys were, you know, fleeing like a genocide, and they still have to pay for their tickets, their plane tickets, to get here to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it is wonderful that they're allowed to come here, but you know, to arrive here as like an 18-year-old kid without any family or any possessions, and to have to immediately start looking at how you're going to pay back this debt. And I know, you know, a lot of them get a year of social assistance, and you know, there are churches, and there's volunteers, and there's people that help them get pots and pans and clothes and do all kinds of things. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, there isn't a lot of effort being made, but I think we actually could do more, and I think we could make it easier, because we're kind of setting them up for a difficult life. And obviously, again, relative, it's not difficult compared to what they've come from, but then to try to make a life in Canada with, you know, with already debt, and, you know, and some of these, you know, in this case of the Sudanese lost boys, like, they should be in school right away. They should be learning English. They should be trying to get a high school degree, but they're trying to save enough money to send some home and to pay their rent, you know?
Yeah.
So it's complicated, of course. There's no easy solutions to this.
So I haven't seen the play, but of course I've read reviews of it, and apparently there's a line in it where when Jackie comes home, she asks her younger sister, what is a ding?
Right.
And so in terms of this character of Ding, who comes to live in the Wilson house, what are there were obviously immediate challenges that a refugee has when they come to this country, but in terms of the play, in terms of the show, he's a fully formed character, isn't he? He's not just a one-dimensional.
Yes. I mean, I hope so. That's my intention.
So what are the I guess the challenges that he faces in the show Social Studies?
Well, I think he's trying to fit in. I think he is. He also is, you know, keenly aware of what everyone likes about him, and they like. You know, the mother likes that he goes to church with her and is, you know, isn't striving for consumerism, that he's just so happy to be here. And he is, you know, and he doesn't feel like he can actually truly be himself, but he can, you know, he can have a dark side, and he can be grouchy sometimes, and he can screw up just like every other 19-year-old Canadian, you know? So I think there is, he feels like he's got to be on his best behavior all the time. And that is a lot of pressure for anyone, let alone someone who's come with, you know, and has nobody else. But he's also extremely grateful to be in this safety net. He's got his own room. He gets to drive the car. He gets meals provided for him. And she's packing his lunch to go to school, you know? So it is, there is, like, he feels really, he feels really lucky and grateful. But it is also, you know, it's complicated, too. And he's aware that Jackie isn't so thrilled that he's there.
And so is there conflict between the two, Jackie and Ding?
Yeah.
Yeah. And sorry, if I'm asking these questions, and I hope I'm not giving anything away, and you'll answer them hopefully in terms of without giving them away, because a lot of us are looking forward to the show.
Totally, no, yeah. I think it's safe to say that there is a conflict between them without giving too much away.
Yeah, and so for you in writing this, because you know these are obviously difficult situations, the stuff that Jackie's going through, the stuff that Ding's going through, and how this family reacts to everything that happens to them. There's a lot of comedy in the show. Is humor a good way of looking at sort of the values that these folks have and how they reconcile with one another?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I personally, you know, my philosophy or my family's philosophy was always like, you had to, I don't know, you had to laugh or you would cry when you're going through hard times. But I also think, as an instrument in theater, I think we're listening a lot more when we're laughing. Like we're recognizing things and we're recognizing them in ourselves. Or oh my God, that's my mom or that's my sister, or that's me. So I think, I mean, that happens in drama too. But I think I think people are closer to it when they're laughing. They're kind of letting it in more. And it is also, when you're laughing, you can take in a lot more of the dark information. Like sometimes you just almost start to shut it out, right? When it's like, oh, I cannot watch another bit of this horrible situation. Whereas I think when you're laughing, you're kind of able to see it more, if that makes any sense.
No, it does, yeah. Because I don't think, unfortunately, a lot of audience members probably wouldn't want to see a drama about a situation like this, but I guess because it is a comedy, it is accessible, and at the end of the night, the audience goes away thinking about critical and important things, but they've had a good time about it.
I hope so, yeah, I hope so. And I mean, I think one of the challenges in the several drafts of the play was trying to give them all a fair fight. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't want to present this as, you know, Jackie's all bad and Deng's all good, or Deng is bad and this lovely family has gotten, you know, messed up by this refugee. Like, that is certainly not the play I wanted to write. But I didn't want him to be a perfect angel either, right? I think that we've seen that story too, where it's just like, we all learn a valuable lesson. It's like, we don't necessarily need another play about that. And we certainly don't need another play about, you know, good white teacher learns a lot from all of her Aboriginal students. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
Sort of like, I was really grappling, like, it was struggling a lot because sometimes something would come out and it would be like, oh, no, that's not how I wanted it to be. But I also recognize, like, there are people that, you know, will say to me after, like, oh, I just thought she was awful or she was, you know, she was totally right. And so that's great. You know, people can have their own opinions and take away whatever they want from all these characters, as long as I've given them all a fair shot at it.
Yeah. How involved are you in a production like this? So when the Fire Hall Art Center wants to stage a play of yours, do you spend time with the director, say with the actress perhaps?
No, I mean, that's what's really both exciting and a little trippy about it, because, you know, when it was produced in Winnipeg, I was in the rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
And I still was, you know, the joke with the director was, he said, have you read the book about how you're supposed to behave as a playwright? And I was like, no, and he wrote, shush. You know, on a piece of paper, was like, that's how you're supposed to behave. So, I mean, it was joking, but it really was like, I talked to him about how I thought things were going, and I was still making cuts and changes and seeing just logistically what was difficult with things I'd written. But and then with the Montreal production, they, like, that director, I was still making some changes and some cuts, so we were in touch a little bit, but not a lot. Like, once it's off in someone else's hands, like, unless they call and say, oh, we really don't understand this reference or this scene or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
It's not been, I mean, it's really neat because I did, and Richie Diggs, who plays Deng, was our Deng in Winnipeg. So
that's
kind of exciting.
Yeah.
And then I Googled kind of all the actresses and looked at them, and it was like, oh, they look perfect, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of neat to see, like, you know, who she chose. And I also, like, had kind of, each one of the other actors I had some strange small world connection to. So it was like, oh, that's really, I mean, that's Winnipeg and, or Winnipeg. That's the Canadian theater scene too, right?
Yeah, they're all accomplished performers, and the reviews for Richie Diggs in the Winnipeg production were quite good, weren't they?
Yeah, they were great. Yeah, he was wonderful. So I'm really excited to have him have this opportunity again. So.
Yeah, and so to the reception of the play, I mean, there was. I mean, I read a number of them, and they were quite good. I mean, they were outstanding. A couple of them that I saw.
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed. Knock on wood. There were like there was a lot of really good reviews. I'm sure there's also some not great ones, and there's a few actually I've gotten. A package of reviews from Montreal, and one is in French and one is in Spanish, and I've never actually bothered to have them translated because I was like, I'm happy with the ones that I've seen. I'm not sure that I need to actually. My sister speaks Spanish, and she's always like, well, I can look at it, and I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm good.
Yeah.
So I think it's always really helpful to get feedback, but, and I have had, you know, they haven't all been like 100% glowing, but I do feel quite lucky that it has resonated with people, and it's gone well.
Yeah, yeah. The couple that I read had thought of the material quite thoughtfully, and about these issues of refugees and the families that bring them to this country, which I thought was a marvelous way to read the play, if you will.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, what for you? Because you, I read your abbreviated bio at the start of this conversation. What for you was say the goal as a kid? Did you always want to write? Did you always want to go into comedy?
I remember always wanting to write, but then I think when I went to theater school, I wanted to be an actor. I kind of chickened out with the writing, and then doing sketch comedy, I was, you know, that's when I wanted to write again. So I didn't always necessarily think comedy, especially as, you know, a brooding young teenager. It was all dramatic. But I think it became clear that was what I was best at, and that is, it's what I love to do.
So for you, it was the performing of comedy that wanted you to write, say, funny. Not watching people on TV or anything, or reading or going to...
Yeah, I mean, I think a bit of both. Like, I do love performing comedy, but I also, then you do get kind of, I was a huge fan of Kids in the Hall, and I always watched Saturday Night Live, and, you know, it was constantly sort of checking out, especially sketch comedy, but stand-up as well, and, or just comic plays and comic movies, and so I don't know, then you get kind of, like, geeky about the formula too, right? It's like, oh, they're doing that thing where, you know, that's why it's funny, is because they've done it three times, and sort of you're like, okay, that's their, you know, the unexpected blah 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 blah, you know, you start getting really nerdy about it, and so it's that became kind of the thing I really like to work on.
See, I'm not a writer, so I asked this question hesitantly of a writer, but it seems to me that writing, say something dramatic as opposed to something funnier, is easier. I mean, because what's that adage that comedy is hard?
Right. I don't know. I mean, I there are scenes in this play that are not, you know, they're not funny and they're not meant to be. So it's, I don't know. I mean, for me personally, I haven't written, I don't know how to not write comedy, and I don't mean like, oh, I'm just so hilarious that I have to write hilarious, but I just don't know how to do the other, I guess. Uh-huh. So for me personally, it's not like I don't know how to do the other, but, you know, I certainly know lots of playwrights who write, like, wonderful comedies and also write drama. So it's, I guess I'd have to have more experience in both sides to be able to speak to that.
So Social Studies is your first full-length play.
Right.
And do you have others that you've already written?
I've done The Fringe quite a bit. So I had done a couple solo shows and, you know, co-wrote a show with a friend of mine, and I'd done collective type of things, and then sketch comedy. But this was the first sort of full-length four-character play that I have written.
Yeah, and so are you working on say a new production now?
Yeah, I'm kind of writing three or four things. So it's that I feel a bit like it's time to figure out which one makes the most sense to focus on the most.
Yeah.
So I think I have another full length play that it's less kind of traditional, I guess, in the, you know, Social Studies is sort of, you know, it's one set and all these things. I think that this next play is a little more, there's a bit more storytelling and there's possibly a narrator, and I don't know, I haven't figured it all out yet, but it's a bit, it has a bit of a different structure than this. But, and then I want to write a kids show with a friend of mine and my daughter, and that's turning out to possibly be a musical, so yeah. That's a, want to focus on what the best thing to do right next is. I mean, I have been writing, but I haven't really produced anything that, you know, many people would read.
I talk to writers all the time who write books and novels and of course nonfiction. So in terms of how your day works and how you write and when you write, is that different because you're writing for, say, the stage?
The only thing that I think would be different is when they schedule it, like when they're like, okay, we're doing this show, then you've got to finish it, you know?
Yeah.
So I had, Prairie Theater Exchange, I was really lucky that they, I had a draft and we'd read it at this Festival of New Work. So it was like a reading that some of the original cast ended up being in the first production. So I had like a, they knew that it was working, so they kind of gave me a chance to, you know, it was almost a year before it was produced. Oh, no, it was over a year. And so those kind of deadlines force you to write, you know, to really get it done. And I like to hear it. Like, I think it depends on your process, but it's really valuable for me, especially with a play, to, like, you know, bang out a draft and then hear it and have other actors or writers just read it so that I can tell whether it's working. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you were, you know, writing a novel or whatever, if you want people to weigh in at certain times, or whether you're just sort of, you know, going it alone, I'm not sure. But it can be kind of like lonely that you have to, like, I'm the one who has to finish this stupid thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It is really collaborative in that, or I make it collaborative for me. That's what works for me, is to bring in other people and not even, like, not just get their feedback, but actually literally hear them. Read it.
Yeah, Trisha, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today. And I guess in the theater they say break a leg. you'll be out here, I guess, to see the production, won't you?
Yes, I will. I'll be there on opening night. So thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
You're very welcome. The website for more, firehallartcenter.ca. The show is called Social Studies. It runs the 21st of November through to December 5th. It's playwright Trish Cooper joined me on the line from Winnipeg and Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunta.